real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. Brian Koberger's agreed to plead guilty to murdering four University of Idaho students as part of a plea deal to avoid the death penalty. Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
It's not at all clear that the victims' families like this arrangement, and the judge could reject the plea bargain, although judges ordinarily do not.
Investigators are still looking for a motive in the ambush deaths of two fire battalion chiefs in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. What they do know about 20-year-old Wes Rowley, Sheriff Robert Norris.
There is information that we've received that he at one time wanted to be a firefighter.
Officials say he set a brush fire to lure the victims to Canfield Mountain. Senators up all night again for a vote-a-rama on President Trump's big budget bill. Maryland Democrat Angela Alsobrooks.
We can save health care for millions of Americans if we strip out tax giveaways for individuals making more than $10 million. Yes or no?
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Hundreds of Wisconsin child care centers are at risk. The Child Care Counts funding program expired today as a budget deadlock continues at the Capitol. Providers say they're now raising rates or closing doors, while lawmakers remain divided on how to help families afford care. Governor Evers calls child care funding a deal breaker. Republican leaders say they want to send money directly to parents instead. A memorial for fallen Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder continues to grow outside of the District 2 headquarters. That's where Corder served before being fatally shot on June 26th. Mourners have placed flowers, memorials, and blue line flags on a marked squad car. Officer Corder and his partner, both six-year veterans, were responding to a call about a person with a weapon when they were ambushed and shot multiple times. Corder died 3 days later from his injuries. His partner survived. There's another thing kids today are avoiding. Lisa Hale has more.
It's good news for the health of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 2024. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to that change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021.
If you plan on hitting the road tomorrow, you won't be alone. AAA says the busiest travel time of the Independence Day weekend is tomorrow, technically noon to 9 tomorrow. The other busy times are Thursday afternoon and again Sunday afternoon. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Bucks are losing Lopez. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, NBA free agency. After seven seasons, including one NBA championship, Brook Lopez is leaving the Milwaukee Bucks. The 37-year-old center has agreed to a two-year contract with the Los Angeles Clippers worth $18 million. While with the Bucks, Lopez improved his three-point shooting and leads with the most blocked shots in franchise history, second only to Giannis Antetokounmpo. Three other players returning to the Bucks: shooting guard Gary Trent Jr. agreeing to a two-year deal worth $7.5 million, which doubles what he made last season in Milwaukee. Guard Kevin Porter Jr. agreeing to a two-year deal worth $10.5 million. And forward Torian Prince also signing a two-year deal with the Bucks worth $7.1 million. All three having next year as a player option. Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series tonight against the Mets in New York. Freddy Peralta on the mound against the Mets' Clay Holmes. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny and pleasant today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 67. Tomorrow, sunny, 87. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app, Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Sturgeon Spirits Distillery founder Carl Lowenstein into the studio. And the 4th of July is fast approaching, so we talk fireworks. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 1st, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, through the app, on social media, however you got here. We appreciate it because you've made it to July. You've made it to the second half of 2025. And I've got a question for you. Did you ever have to hit the ground running sooner than expected and later realize you still haven't had your first sip of coffee, much less the day's first cup? That was the experience here, sitting down at my desk with my cup of coffee. Said, got here a couple of minutes early. That was good. See what's going on in the world. Might be a slow news day. Oh, wait. There's an announcement from Governor Tony Evers and legislative Republicans. They have reached a budget deal. And they clearly reached something detailed late yesterday, because not only was the governor's press release ready to go out at exactly 5 o'clock this morning, so was the news piece from the Associated Press, so was the news piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So the details were out there in what we call an embargoed group of reporters who were able to put that out at 5 a.m., give us the details, and we're going to review it all. And as I reviewed some of it and got closer to the top of the hour here, I was like, I have not had any coffee yet. But we're on news caffeine at the moment here. So we'll tell you more about what is in the deal. And then at 8:30, Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area with his usual weekly appearance. And I guess the way we'll put it to him is, you know that saying, you know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the very good. Is this very good? Is this good enough for, you know, for not just legislators, but for supporters, for allies, like I would think, for example, of Corrine Hendrickson, who's been an advocate for child care. Now, there's a very detailed child care provision in this bill. Is it going to be good enough? It's going to be better than what Republicans would have given if, say, Tim Michaels were in the governor's office right now. You know, that number would be $0. But the number that's in there, is it going to work? We will see. Tony writes on YouTube, I wonder what you're going to talk about today, Pat. Slow news day. Nothing happening in Madison. And then he goes on to wonder about this budget deal. I wonder how many Democratic votes they are getting in the Assembly and Senate. Well, Tony, I think I have an answer for that one based on personal experience. I think that because the governor reached this deal with Republican leaders, it will mean a whole lot of Democrats will also vote for it and say, hey, they want to be able to say, we voted for a bipartisan deal. It will allow a handful of Democrats in, say, tougher districts, if they want to vote no and be able to go home and say, I didn't vote for that because it wasn't good enough, or, you know, for whatever reason. Meanwhile, on the Republican side, it looked like there were going to be one or two or three holdouts among Senate Republicans, and then it would need Democratic votes to pass. But now, not only will those one or two or three Republicans vote no, but probably a handful of others, to say that there aren't enough cuts in there, there aren't enough favors to the wealthy for them to support it. So it's probably going to pass. Now, it's not across the finish line yet. The Joint Finance Committee of the legislature will bring it up today, vote on it, and then send it to, and I don't know who's getting it first. I'm going to say it's, you know, could go to the full assembly first, where amendments are added, and then it goes to the full Senate, where amendments are added, or vice versa. And then once the amendments are added, it's got to go back to the other house. And so there's still the possibility of surprises in there. But at the moment, based on what the leaders have all agreed to, we may be avoiding a long budgetless crisis here in the state of Wisconsin. We can't say the same thing out in Washington, D.C., where, and let's bring in Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2, where at about 5:58, was it, Parker? I was like, holy cow, I've been working on all this state stuff. I haven't looked at the national. Is there even a federal deal? Is there? And
don't you worry, Pat.
Parker was right away very reassuring. Don't you worry. That it's as dysfunctional as ever. And he's absolutely right. Several senators, I guess, stepped outside a couple hours back to look at the sunrise and then crawl back into their holes and try to negotiate with each other again. And it is very clear there that you have people like Ron Johnson and others who will not support something unless there are very drastic cuts to Medicaid. But you have more Republicans saying these cuts are too drastic. And I don't know if the tension's there for this thing to pass or not. So
it's really annoying because I feel like a lot of Democrats are just trying to show off this thing sucks.
Well, and that's why the
Republicans are just like, nah.
The president has said over and over, we want this done by July 4th. We want this done by July 4th. There's nothing special about July 4th.
No.
What he's saying is, get this thing to my desk. Let's get this out of here before people figure out what's in it.
Yeah.
And as people are figuring out what's in it, they're like, this is awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly an awful bill. It is a massive redistribution of wealth from the middle class to the upper class. It is going to make so many people's lives miserable or harmful. And so they are trying so hard to put lipstick on this pig, and the pig just won't sit still. And so I don't know if they're going to get it done or not. So we have a deal in Madison. We may not be close to a deal in Washington, D.C. We'll monitor both. We'll give you all the latest updates. What's new in Madison world down there, Mr. Olson?
Oh, boy. You know what, Pat? I have reached the point in my life that I had a dream about sleeping in. I woke up today.
R.I.P. to Parker's youth.
Yeah.
It died in the middle of 2025. So.
I woke up today thinking that it was like 6 o'clock and I had slept in far too long.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, it was 4:05 as per usual.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where
someday.
I'm at. But I saw a little bit of a sunrise today. It was very nice and clear today. So I got a little bit of a sunrise. Well, not the sun, but like, you know, starting to see a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. Remember, we talked in great detail about that about a week and a half ago with
Brittany. I forgot about that fascination that you found.
Civil twilight versus nautical twilight versus sunrise, you know. And, you know, we're usually having, you know, breakfast at a little before 5 a.m. And you can kind of sort of see the lake, you know, as the sun is getting set to come up. And it's gorgeous because it's not sunrise yet, but it's also not winter. We're not looking at a frozen lake. So, you know.
Yeah, I suppose
all
that makes it
all things
a
in
bit.
Moderation. Tony's got news for you. He writes on YouTube, waking up after 7, never again. It's quite possible.
Yeah, probably not.
Alicia, good morning, writes in on YouTube that there was an event they had at the Appleton Library last night with storytellers on how the Trump package is going to affect people in the Fox Valley. And so it's those kinds of events, those kinds of stories that are truly making an impact on folks who don't normally follow this. There's an estimate of like one fourth to one third of all Americans still know nothing about what's in the bill. And of the Americans that know what's in the bill out in Washington, D.C., they oppose it by a 2-1 margin. So, I mean, information is the enemy for, you know, the Ron Johnsons of the world right now.
Never heard that before.
Well, it is. That's exactly what it is. So we try to spread that information here. If you would like to join the comment parade on YouTube or on Facebook, just head over to the Up North News Facebook or YouTube pages or the Civic Media Facebook or YouTube pages and put down a question or a comment there. You can also follow my Facebook page, facebook.com/morningswithpatkreitlow. You can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, though. I got to admit, I am shirking. I have not been posting like original stuff on Instagram or TikTok nearly to the degree that I would like to.
I see you on Twitter now and then, though.
Well, I'm finally moving back to Twitter. And by the way, it is under protest. I do not like
being back there. One's happy to be on Twitter.
No, I mean, it's honest to goodness, I mean, it still has this base of where you can share information, but you're weeding past, you know, MAGA stuff that you didn't invite into your feed, you know, Nazis and porn and probably Nazi porn. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
And it's just a dumpster fire.
Let me tell you a secret, Pat. Use the following tab. Only look at the people that you follow.
I know, but I also, again, I don't want to miss like some new point of view or something. And it's it's always a balancing act. Like, okay, is it worth it to find some new sources of information? Or do I really have to watch, you know, this person fail at sword swallowing?
You know, like, yeah, some that is other a pretty good chunk people, of it.
People put up just vile clips, and it's like, what are you? And by the way, I'm not asking for these. This isn't like Facebook. You know,
you're asking for failed sword swallowing on Facebook.
My mom called me yesterday and she said, Patrick, are you going to make fun of me again? And I said, well, stop giving me reason to. And well, here's her latest.
Like a loving son.
She is not a fan of, let's say, tattoos. All right.
Okay.
And but she says, my Facebook feed, it's just all these tattoo pictures. I said, Mom, you're clicking on them to look at them, to be disgusted by them. And so they keep feeding you more. So I had to teach her the algorithm and how it worked. And I think I was helpful, you know?
I'm sure you were. I believe you.
Yes, because my wife has got it down to a science. Yeah. It is funny stuff and cute baby animals. And that's it.
That's all
I mean,
you need.
She is a level, you know, she's expert level at the algorithm. Others, not so much. And you try to do that with Twitter as well, but Elon Musk has got that thing set up for just, nope, here's some more garbage for you. Hope you enjoy. Anyway, so I'm putting stuff back there, but I'm still trying to put stuff on Blue Sky as well. And yeah, I'd love to get more video content on TikTok and Instagram. And I know that that'll happen once these two budget deals are done. We can go back into like video explainers and things like that. So it's just a busy, very busy time.
It's a little bit going on.
Yeah. We're doing things like, you know, putting together that new Sunday morning politics newsletter that you can sign up for. It's called Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. You can click subscribe at the top of our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com, and subscribe to one of our three different newsletters that got you covered 7 days a week. Now that there is a budget deal, everybody's going to be watching Governor Tony Evers, who said he was not going to make any announcement on whether he will run for a third term next year until after the budget is done. It's not done yet, but it's getting closer. And so it led to our question of the week in this issue 2 days ago, saying, who's going to be the Republican nominee for governor next year? Whatever Evers decides. And I know there's over a year to go until the primary, but what do you think? And we give you some options, because Tim Michaels is apparently interested. Eric Hovde is apparently interested. Josh Shulman, the Washington County executive, is already committed to running. But maybe it'll be some other politician, or maybe it'll be some other rich guy who thinks that, you know, like a Ron Johnson, he can just waltz into office with a big old checkbook. So we ask what you think, and that's what you get in our question of the week by signing up for our daily newsletter. Hey, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, let me thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
As you celebrate Independence Day, Century Companies would like to ask you a favor. When you see a military veteran, thank them for their service to our country. Specializing in fence, traffic, and security solutions, Century Companies is a family-owned and family-focused safety and security contractor located in Pewaukee with over 100 years of industry experience. To learn more, visit their website, centurycompanies.us. That's centurycompanies.us. Century Companies, helping build a better and safer world.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, I'm going to tell you about some stuff on Civic Media and some stuff on Up North News. Then we're going to cover some more of the latest on the budget battle in Washington, D.C. And then after the next break and the Midwest Farm Report, I will stop teasing you and give you some of the details in the state budget agreement reached by Governor Evers and legislative Republicans yesterday. So coming up later today on Civic Media, Matt Nair on Air follows this fine program from 9 to 11 a.m. And the only guest they've got listed so far is me. I'll be on with Jane and Greg at 9:30. Yeah, boy. Tune in anyway, folks, because it's a good show otherwise with Jane and with Greg. Of course, they'll have This Shouldn't Be a Thing at 10:50 as well. Let's see. On the Todd Alba Show at, did not update that appropriately. On the Maggie Dawn Show, I think Jim Santel is going to be the guest host today. See, now I'm doubting myself. Now I got to go look. So forgive me. I thought I had this all updated, but nope. I got to scroll down a little bit here. And on the Todd Alba Show today, his What's Worse segment, Cookout Condiments. Okay. Jim Santel is indeed the guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show, guest co-host, I should say, at 4 o'clock. And at 5:30, they will talk to Kristen Crowell, executive director of Fair Share America, holding the Stop the Billionaire Giveaway National Bus Tour. And on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe at 6:30 tonight, Sturgeon Spirits Distillery founder Carl Lowenstein will be in the studio. So that's some of what you'll find across the Civic Media Radio Network throughout the course of the day. In our daily newsletter at Up North News, it is cherry picking season. We have information on what to know, where to go, and how to enjoy the tart kind of cherries that grow very well here in Wisconsin Springs. On our website, upnorthnewswi.com, there's an article there about all of the some of the best 4th of July fireworks shows going on around Wisconsin. And there is also on social media, you can hear from a couple of Chippewa County farmers during a visit recently from Senator Tammy Baldwin talking about President Trump's trade war and its impact on all things agricultural in Wisconsin. So that's just a few of the things you'll find over at Up North News on social media and our website, upnorthnewswi.com. So in Washington right now, again, as the Senate now stretches into a third day of voting on all kinds of amendments, your first thought might be, well, is this just a Democratic delaying trick? Are they just throwing all these amendments out there that Republicans won't support? No. I mean, that's part of it. Yes. But there are also these Republican amendments trying to massage the bill one way or the other to get enough Republican votes to get this thing across the finish line. The problem is that Republicans can only afford to lose, I think, 3 votes, and there are definitely 2 no votes already. And Ron Johnson might be a no vote if, you know, they don't close more orphanages or make more cuts to Medicaid or something like that. But others are saying these cuts, you know, are going to kill us Republicans next year in the midterms. Meanwhile, back over in the House of Representatives, Republicans there, remember, it too passed by the narrowest of margins. Now they're watching the Senate tear parts of it down, remake parts of it. And so they have new reason to threaten to hold out when the bill comes back to them for approval. Not the least of which is the $3.3 trillion of new debt. Keep in mind that that is after all of the cuts to Medicaid and food assistance and the Affordable Care Act and other programs. That's just how much more Republicans want to provide in tax cuts to the very wealthy, is that they're going to make all these cuts to programs the rest of us use, and they're still going to add $3 trillion more onto the deficit. The bill would raise the federal debt limit by $5 trillion. All of these Republicans who have been talking about we can't afford this and we can't afford that for years are about to approve a bill that would raise the federal debt limit by $5 trillion. It has truly removed any credibility from Republicans who say, well, we can't afford this. You can afford tax cuts for the super wealthy if you want to. You're willing to put that on the nation's credit card. So you really have lost any high ground when it comes to fiscal conservatism. Now, overnight, senators voted to strip a provision out of the bill that would have effectively blocked states from passing their own laws on artificial intelligence for the next decade. The vote was 99-1. So if anybody over on the House side thinks they're putting that one back in, no, they're not. Elon Musk, who, of course, has now had a falling out with Republicans, has called for the formation of a new party. He is threatening to primary Republicans who vote for the bill the way that it is currently written. Do I think he'll follow through on that? No. Why? Because a big favor to SpaceX has been put into the budget bill. And I think a lot of this is performative. Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska got some kind of a sweetheart deal for rural health care spending in the bill. The Senate parliamentarian said it's not germane to the bill and has to come out. So maybe she won't vote for it now. And so amendment after amendment is coming up again to try to form something that can get the barest amount of Republican votes. What would you do in the real world? What would the rest of us do in the real world? We'd talk to Democrats. And we'd say, okay, what can we do together to write a budget where you get some of what you want, I get some of what I want, and we get this all done? That's how most normal workplaces would go. But we're talking about the United States Congress, not a normal workplace. Thank you for spending some time here as part of your mornings, powered by Up North News. We will have more on the state budget deal next, live from Chippewa Falls after the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This heat and humidity may not be real comfortable, but it is just what the doctor ordered for our Wisconsin crops. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Anastasia Kurth is one of our regional crops and soils educators through UW Extension, and she says we were actually falling behind as far as heat units.
We've had quite a bit of heat going on, and typically, you know, heat kind of worries us in this situation, but however... this time the heat was really much needed. So we had a deficit in our growing degree days for both corn and soybean from about June 1st through about June 20th. So we were really behind, and a lot of people noted that the crops looked very small. So we needed this heat to kind of give the crops a boost and boost those growing degree days.
Anastasia Kurth, one of our regional crops and soils educators. We've got the heat now, which is good for the plants. Now, she said the next thing we have to do, start scouting for insects. It's always something, isn't it? We'll get you up to speed on where the markets stand in overnight trade. That's next.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Well, despite the fact that we've picked up a few more degree growing units for heat, our crop conditions not necessarily responding yet. This week, the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service says 75% of our corn's in good to excellent condition, but that's actually down a percentage point. 73% of our soybeans, good to excellent. That's unchanged. Winter wheat, 72% of that crop, good to excellent. That's down 3 percentage points. Oats, 85% good to excellent, also down 2 percentage points in ratings. Let's talk about the markets in overnight electronic trade. Getting rolling on a Tuesday morning. Right now, Dow Jones Industrial Average a little lower. Our December new crop corn is down 6 at 420. November new crop soybeans currently down 8 at 1019. And July new crop wheat currently unchanged at 528. On Monday, barrel cheese was up 3 cents at 169.5. Big move on 40-pound block cheese, up a dime at 172, while AA butter gained 3.75 cents to 260 a pound. This morning, the August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, up 4 at 1874. September closed 38 cents stronger at 1919 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand rolling into a Tuesday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny and pleasant today. We'll get to around 82 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northwest at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 67. Tomorrow, sunny, 87. And then on Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 64.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll continue to monitor the budget process both in D.C. and Madison. And what's worse for the holidays, ketchup or mustard? Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tomorrow on the program, it's going to be a fun one. It's Wednesday, so we catch up with all kinds of our civic media friends. We will have Melissa Baldoff in with Climate Check. We will have James Kelly, Jimmy Koska, Earl Ingram, and, of course, Melissa Kay with Pigeon Quest. There will surely be an update. All of that tomorrow here on these mornings powered by Up North News. There is a feature on the Civic Media app that you should be making use of. It's called the voice note feature. Go to any station on the Civic Media app and use the voice note button to leave us a short audio message with a question or a comment. We might play it on air. You can use, of course, the regular ways, the comment sections in Facebook and YouTube, or the text line, again, through the Civic Media app, which leads me to this comment when we were talking about Twitter before from Jim in Appleton. Try Substack, Pat. That's becoming similar to Twitter before Elon. And I got that from somebody in the comment section as well. Oh, yeah, it was Mary here saying that I enjoy Substack. Well, I, too, have a Substack, and in a perfect world, that was going to be my daily show notes, which I was then going to, you know, outsource to Parker, and he would put them together. But that hasn't happened yet, so it's on our list. It's on that ever expanding to do list, Parker.
It's on your list.
But, yeah. First things first, we've got some short term work to do. But yes, I should have mentioned Substack as well. All right, I'm going to talk a bit about the state budget deal. It is not going to be, unfortunately, my smoothest explanation, because again, it's a comprehensive deal. It was reached at some point yesterday, but a deal was reached to embargo the news until 5 a.m. And so the governor put out a very detailed press release at 5 a.m. The Journal Sentinel put out the details at 5 a.m. The Associated Press put out the details at 5 a.m. And so I'm bouncing between these, and so forgive any redundancy. And people will go, well, what are you doing it for then? I mean, who wants to hear about the state budget? You know, can't you talk about the Brewers? How'd the Brewers do? You haven't mentioned them at all. Well, the Brewers didn't play last night. The Brewers are headed to New York. They are now there to take on the Mets. Coverage begins at 5:35 tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday on several Civic Media radio stations. Again, head to the Civic Media website to learn more about the Brewers. So, lacking a Brewers game, let's talk about where your state tax dollars go, where those fees go that you pay for various things, and how they come back out to you in one form or another. So the governor, a Democrat, Tony Evers, the Republicans who control the state legislature, have hammered out a two-year deal. Every state budget is a two-year thing here. And so the previous deal expired yesterday. Today is the first day of the new fiscal year. Happy fiscal new year, everybody. And so there will be a new budget in place eventually, hopefully. In the meantime, the old budget will continue. That in this new deal, there will be income tax cuts. There will be increased funding for the UW system. There will be an increase in spendable funds for K-12 schools. And there will be money put into childcare, not nearly as much as advocates were hoping, and maybe not entirely in the form they were hoping, but again, more than the $0 they would get if the Republican legislature had a Republican in the governor's office. So let's start with the tax cuts. There will be, and again, keep in mind, there's a $4 billion surplus to work with here. So there's room for everybody to get a little bit of something. So off the top, $1.3 billion in income tax cuts, largely targeting the middle class. In all, more than 1.5 million people in Wisconsin will have their taxes cut on average. Again, this is on average $180 per year. Again, depending on your bracket. The deal would also expand the state's second lowest income tax bracket. I wouldn't even call that a bracket. It is so big. I don't have it in front of me, but it's something like $60,000 to $400,000. It's a big bracket. It's going to make it even bigger. It will move, if you are age 67 and over, the first $24,000 of income will be tax-free. It is also going to eliminate the sales tax on your electric bills. That'll save taxpayers about $150 million over the next 2 years. Over at higher education, the universities of Wisconsin would see a $250 million increase over 2 years, $256 million. That is the largest funding increase to the UW system in about two decades. Now, again, $256 million is not the $855 million that the Board of Regents had asked for. It's also not the cut of $87 million that Republicans were proposing. Republicans got out of the deal the imposition of a minimum workload requirement for faculty, as well as an independent study on the future sustainability of the UW system. There will be $200 million put into transportation projects, though there were not a lot of details on that. Childcare will get $330 million over 2 years. Now, that doesn't sound like a far cry from what the governor and child care advocates were hoping for, but they did divvy it up a bit. About one third of that $330 million will go to direct payments to child care providers, similar to the Child Care Counts program. But then other parts of the money will be used in different ways to support child care, and I'll get to those details in just a little bit. We have been in touch with Corrine Hendrickson from New Glarus, who is reviewing the details and will give us some reaction, perhaps as early as 7:20. Funding for special education is going to increase in a big way. And let me jump over to the governor's press release, because it really provides some good details on that. And that this is the part where you forgive me for the scrolling, but I wanted to see if we could find it. Here we go. It is the largest percentage increase in special education reimbursement in state history, which, by the way, only recently came from like 30% reimbursement up to like 35% reimbursement. And yet voucher schools get a 90% reimbursement on their special education costs. Well, we're not going to 90%. But the new budget does call for 42% in the first year of the budget, 45% in the second year of the budget. The governor says it's the highest reimbursement rate in 30 years. There's also $30 million for his mental health services in schools initiative that is going to be happening. Let's see. While I'm at the governor's press release here, let's look a bit more at the child care. There is $66 million to fund a new child care program that will support providers by helping four-year-olds prepare for the classroom. There will be $2 million designed to help providers build capacity to be able to cut child care waiting lists. There will be $123 million to increase rates under the Wisconsin Shares Child Care Subsidy Program to help lower out-of-pocket child care costs for working families across the state. And then there will be another pilot program to support expanding capacity across the child care industry. That, again, is the kind of thing Republicans were looking for, was, you know, how do we make it so that each provider can watch more kids? And child care providers said, well, without assistance in building that capacity, all you're saying is, you know, throw more kids in the room and hope for the best. And that could be a safety concern. So, again, in this case, there will be more to be done to help providers build up the infrastructure to be able to have more kids under their care. Let's see, we've also got, I did mention the proposal to eliminate the sales tax on utility bills. That was the governor's idea that Republicans are going along with. And let's see, all told, the governor is saying that since taking office, he has now presided over $12.5 billion in tax cuts. It includes eliminating retirement income tax for many retirees. Oh, here's something. Creating a film tax credit and establishing a state film office in the Department of Tourism, which will allocate up to $5 million in film production and investment tax credits for each fiscal year. So that's something I've heard other people talk about, is why we don't have a film credit here that can bring in a lot of business. And so that is also part of the deal. Let's see. From Scott in Madison on the text line, just cut to the chase, what will be the surplus at the end of the 2 years on the new budget? That it does not say here. And I know that the heroes at the Legislative Fiscal Bureau, and as a former senator, I'm not engaging in hyperbole. The heroes at the Legislative Fiscal Bureau are surely going to continue crunching these numbers, and we'll find out if there's a surplus at the end of this thing or not. I think that there will be a surplus. I don't think Republicans would have gone along with spending the whole thing down. And that's not just out of fiscal conservatism. That's also out of a sense of they want to have a little pot of money to hand to the next governor in case a Republican wins the governor's race next year. So let's see. And also on, let's take a look at two. Alicia just puts, it's enormous. I don't know if she means the utility bill. She says, I like that. We won't have a sales tax on our electric bills. And Tony, of course, wants more sports talk. Okay, so that's where we sit with all of that, is a deal that, as the governor says, secures the largest increase to special education reimbursement rate in state history, the largest increase to the UW system in more than two decades, over $330 million to support Wisconsin's child care industry, and then also cuts. I was about to say big cuts in taxes. It's not up for me to say if that's a big cut in income taxes, but it will have more than $1.5 billion of the surplus applied toward income tax cuts. That is said to be targeted toward the middle class. But again, I would have to see the details on that for all of that to be able to comment further. And so I've got, I had to send some early morning texts out to legislators, some of whom are not exactly early birds. But let's see, from State Representative Jody Emerson, she responded. I'm amazed. She said she'll be on the road at that point, which makes sense because Joint Finance is going to be taking this up today, and then the Assembly and the Senate will take it up over the next couple of days. And again, probably get this all passed. There will be, again, all kinds of amendments that will be offered. I would describe the amendment process as maybe a little less friendly in the legislature compared to in Washington, D.C., because, again, they've worked out this deal. They don't want to, if they monkey with it too much, well, then you've got to send it back to the other house. And, you know, what if they're not there? I mean, the Assembly could vote on this first, and they could adjourn for the session, and then the Senate would have to, like, take it or leave it. Do you want to look like the bad guys, or are you going to get this thing done? So we've got some time yet to see. And then the governor still has, like, 10 days to apply any partial vetoes. Now, it does say in the news report that the governor has pledged not to veto any of the things that are part of the deal. So it is still possible that some of these amendments that will come on there are things that he may not like and can strike with his veto pen. And again, the legislature, if they want to override it, you know, get the votes and override it. If not, that's what the partial veto is there for. So those are the details. We'll talk about them again with Dan Schaefer coming up at 8:30 from the recombobulation area about whether this is good enough to attract plenty of Democratic votes as well as Republican votes and put this whole state budget deal behind us. Today's history lesson is next, as we always do, mornings up north and live on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, "Please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed." We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Demi Lovato. There are those songs that are like the songs of the summer, and you hear them like on a loop throughout the summer and then not so much afterwards. And that was definitely the case with this one, Cool for the Summer by Demi Lovato. This was the song of the summer 10 years ago. Can't believe that song is 10 years old already. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Demi Lovato, Cool for the Summer, released this day in 2015. On today's history lesson, and we've got a lot of stuff here today, the British North America Act took effect this day in 1867. What did that mean? It created the modern nation of Canada. Happy Canada Day to all of our friends up north. Eh?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's Canada's Independence Day today. The first ever Tour de France bicycle race was held this day in 1903. On this day in 1966, Bob Dylan released the first double album of the rock and roll era, Blonde on Blonde.
Yeah, but I would not feel so all alone. Everybody must get stoned.
On this day in 1956, the family-friendly Steve Allen Show didn't want Elvis Presley shaking his legendary pelvis, and so he sang Hound Dog to a basset hound. Both Elvis and the dog were dressed up in formal wear.
Oh, I love that story.
Elvis was humiliated, and yet it expanded his audience, and you know, showed that you can have a little fun, you know, take a little poke at yourself now and then, whether you like it or not. That's show business. So, on this day in 1967 was the peak of Scott McKenzie's record, San Francisco. All that that summer of love, that groovy stuff from 1967. It reached its peak of number four on the singles chart this day in 1967, galvanizing the flower power movement. A lot of birthdays today here. Let's start with a landmark one. Debbie Harry is 80 years old today. Debbie Harry, born this day in 1945. Liv Tyler is 48 years old today. Pam Anderson is 58 years old today. Happy birthday to Fred Schneider of the B-52s. He is 74 years old today.
Quite the variety.
Yes, we got variety here today. We got it in big time. Dan Aykroyd is 73 years old today. Jamie Farr from MASH. Klinger is 91 years old today. I would love to tell you that Diana, Princess of Wales, turned 64 today and sadly passed away far too young at the age of 36 back in 1997. She was born this day in 1961. Happy birthday to Victor Willis. You may not know him by name, but you know the Village People. You know the lead singer, the Policeman. That would be Victor Willis. This day in 1987, WFAN in New York City was launched as the world's first all sports radio station, for better or for worse.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'm not going to cast stones, but I've heard some sports talk stations. They're quite good, you know. They're entertaining, and I've heard some that you know would be better off just staying at the bar, you know,
sports
from one bar
talk.
Stool to the other. Yeah,
sports talk can kind of venture into what I will call Twitter-like.
Yes, yeah. that is a very good way to put it. Happy birthday to Missy Elliott. She is 54 years old today. Missy be putting it down. I'm the hottest round. I told your mother, y'all can stop me now. Listen to me. On this day in 2006, the most popular tailor in America was Taylor Hicks, because he had just won American Idol Season 5, and his first hit single, Do I Make You Proud, hit number one. And I don't know if I've heard from Taylor Hicks ever since.
I don't think I know that name at all, no.
Well, it certainly answers that, doesn't it? All right. Zip codes were introduced for mail in the United States this day in 1963, which is why this is also National Postal Workers Day. So thank the folks at the post office who do so much to get us the mail on time every day, safely, through rain, through snow, through all of that. This is American Zoo Day. So, you know.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Pat, I am currently reading an article right now in the Cap Times about how the Henry Violet Zoo in Madison is finally naming its flamingos.
Oh, gosh, it's you and the flamingos again.
Yeah. It
you is. Are becoming to flamingos what Melissa Kay is to pigeons over here. You're going to adopt one, aren't you? I mean, it'll stay at the zoo, but you're going to adopt one. You're going to get to name it.
This could happen. You're not allowed to have them as pets. I do know that.
Okay. You know, agree to disagree. Sure. Okay. Yeah, so American Zoo Day. And this, of course, is National Grilling Month. like you needed to tell anybody that. I don't need that on my calendar.
No.
I need some Johnsonvilles and some Kraut and some Kingsford, and I am good to go. Coming up yet this morning, we will be talking to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser. We'll congratulate the Trump administration for figuring out that you can't grow bananas and cocoa beans and coffee here in the U.S., and maybe the trade war shouldn't reflect that. Dan Schaefer coming along as well on these mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief, Brian Kobergers agreed to plead guilty in the murders of four University of Idaho students. Benjamin Mogan's daughter was among the victims.
That's going to be nothing nice to go through for the rest of your life, and he'll have to think about that every day, all the terrible things that he allegedly did.
Lawmakers in the Senate up for the second night in a row for a marathon voting session on amendments to President Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Spending Bill. Republicans, like Majority Leader John Thune, arguing in favor of the package.
This, Mr. President, will make this country safer, stronger, and more prosperous.
This bill is going to ruin people's lives.
Connecticut Democrat Chris Murphy arguing against. Thousands of city workers have gone on strike in Philadelphia. Trash collectors, street repair crews, police dispatchers, and others all demanding more higher pay than the city's proposed.